Give it up for these two fathers we picked up yee-haw! On the show today.
Yee-haw! Fuck yeah! Yee-haw!
They're doing real good. We're a bunch of couple boys. The sun's out. Love you so much.
Welcome to the Unofficial King Gizzard Podcast, the show about the best band in the world. Question mark. I am Captain Chipwreck.
Yeehaw. Fuck yeah. Yeehaw. I'm Professor John P. Weatherclock. And now, today, at this time, we're going to talk about Remlinger Farms, a nearly perfect three-night run in the nearly perfect U.S. residency tour summer 2023. Special stuff. I love it. It's just so much good stuff came out of these three nights.
Can't argue with any of that. It was amazing. A great show. I have lyrics of the episode. Singularity at the point of contacting. Lightning strikes deep inside digital cells in my mind, torn apart like a baguette. Rip the husk from the brown rice, lacerate the pig flesh, and shape the machine out of clay. Blow the brain up in your hand and replace the ashes with static.
Static electricity.
Indeed.
Well, I want to talk about that, the time signature of the verses, because I don't get it. But
I don't know. Go ahead.
I want to talk about some news, and I don't think it falls into Omnium Gatherum, but there's a few news items, one of which just happened minutes ago before our recording that you didn't catch. Minor news on that. One thing, Stu was interviewed on the Atlantic podcast called Galaxy Brain.
That's
about
true.
AI music and Spotify stuff. And it's a really good interview. It's on YouTube. The link is coming from inside this show note, the show notes here.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you take away from that interview?
My takeaway from that interview was that the main theme was that Stu believes we're cooked. Mm-hmm. And so especially AI supping from the soul of music to make its own music means that anyone can make anyone else's music, and that's fucked.
Yeah, it's fucked. That's a more existential problem. I know he also expressed problems with the fact that people can upload to using the King Gizzard name to the King Gizzard account, whatever music, and they do take it down, but it happens. And that also sucks.
Yeah, there's some way to do it where I can put up any kind of bullshit, and somehow it's not just that it sounds like King Gizzard or I name it as King Gizzard, but it's on their artist page.
Yeah, we should put up this podcast. Genius. Stu would love it. At least we're not replicating them in any way.
No, he might be okay with it.
Wait, woo, is that close?
Boy, now you've done it.
Good news out of that podcast or that recording interview video thing. Stu said he talked about like the King Gizzard style and their ethos. And he said he doesn't feel like it's changed. Like it was a band that no one was supposed to pay attention to.
Right.
And they think they still operate that way. And I love that.
For us, you know, the band, I mean, King Gizzard started in this kind of beautiful low pressure scenario. It started in this way of it being a side project, and it worked because it was easy. Actually, not easy in a work sense, but easy in a it fit sense. And it we did what we wanted to do from the beginning. It was baked into the whole idea of it because people didn't feel pressured to be in this band, and it was the sort of this weird side project thing that people weren't supposed to be paying attention to. So it let us kind of just do whatever we want and not worry about it. But I think when, for whatever reason, some people started to support the band, and it got to a point where it felt like maybe we should sort of put some more time and effort into this thing. I think we probably quite sensibly realized that that was actually quite a beautiful sort of seed or DNA to what the band was, and I think we've been pretty good at holding on to that. And I say that because I think for the most part we operate exactly the same as we did even when we had a MySpace. It was kind of just like we don't engage super deeply with social media. We don't create content. We don't do that stuff. We just sort of make albums at the pace we want to. We put our music at the pace we want to, and we still work with the same people. It's the same sort of small small team for the most part.
Yeah.
And we just have kind of like not stopped doing. And I think a lot of the things around us have changed. We've tried really hard to stay the same on the inside.
Yeah, I thought that was beautiful. How they became the main thing for some of these guys, though. It looks like Ambi runs around and has a lot of playtime with side projects. Maybe Cavs is working on his side project. We can talk about that, whether that's a thing going on. But
good transition.
Yes. Two.
So, yes, Ambrose was with members of Tame Impala, Geese, and Pond, yes, in Perth, which is on the other side of Australia. We don't know what's coming of this. Let me list who this was. So Geese's touring keyboardist Sam and Max Basson and Emily Green. Those are from Geese. Tame Impala's Kevin Parker was there. Pond is a cool band, by the way. Pond members Nick, Jay, and James. And then Ambi on the congas. And there's some video. There's a link in the show notes. Don't know what's going to come of this. We don't know what's going to come of, like, we know that Giz was also in the studio with Billy Strings a few months ago.
That's right.
Who knows, man?
Don't know. Right. It could just be fun time. We don't know much about it. I did see this, and it was just from a social media post of Geese's touring keyboardist, Sam. I'm not going to try to say your last name, Sam. Sorry.
Ravaz?
Oh, you're going to try to say it. I just said I'm not going to say it.
Am I Sam in this scenario? No, I'm not Sam.
Yeah.
I am Sam. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. Mr. Ravaz is my father. was that the news? Is that the news that I didn't know?
No, that's not the news you didn't know.
Tell me. Damn you. I knew that.
The news you did know is that a few days ago, Cavs posted on Instagram that something is coming on February 25th. He posted like a photo of his face in like it looked like it was video of him in a forest all dirtied up. Minutes ago, he posted audio music with that. A clip, this right here. Drums.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. So, and we all assume this was a new Cavs album that's dropping on February 25th, which is momentarily. That's what it seems like. I think we're pretty much confirmed there. And yes,
amazing.
With that audio, he posted, it looks like a slow-mo video of him in the woods, very dirty. He's a dirty boy.
How do you feel about that? I'm happy that they're doing other projects, but I don't want them to be in anyone's studio except for each other's.
I'm afraid they have been. I mean, this really started when a couple months ago, Kaz said he was back in the studio or something, back at home in the studio.
Right. And yeah, missed his drum kit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And we had hoped, I had hoped that it was a Giz album, but it looks like a Caviar album.
Mm, well, that's the most delicious kind of album, eggs.
You know, if these guys really get a lot of energy by branching out and coming back, I think, as long as we get the coming back part.
Please. Yes, please. Yeah. I wonder what they're doing right now. I wonder how often they're seeing each other. I want to know if they're clocking into the office.
But we know Stu is the guitarist and Angine de
let's say Poutine, because they're Canadian.
Oh, I don't like that.
Why? They would eat that. It's more of a hot dog based than a French fry based band.
I think the name means angina, like chest pain. Angina of the chest.
From eating too many hot dogs. Oh. Flaming hot dogs, especially.
Yeah. So we know, did we just break that story? That's the guitarist?
Yeah, we shouldn't. We have some insider information that we probably shouldn't share, having made that up. But you heard it here first. And
it's only...
I thought this was going to come at the end of the show, but it's important. It is almost Giz news, considering that every Giz fan on the internet is reposting this one KEXP clip that's not in KEXP. It's like somewhere in Montreal, France.
Yeah, Montreal, France.
Yeah.
Angine de poitrine, which means angina of the chest. I mean, how many guitarists play both shoeless, sockless, and play a microtonal guitar?
Yes.
Only one.
Microtonal guitar double bass. Right, which I don't know, you don't call that a double bass. It's a double guitar. It's not a double guitar, right? What do you call a bass and a guitar Wedded as One.
So, Remlinger Farms, 2023.
You were there. I scribbled down some venue notes, but I've never been there.
Oh, yes. So, this was June 16th, 17th, and 18th. About an hour east of Seattle in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains. I drove there. I went alone. It rained all weekend. It was in the 50s all weekend, which is pretty chilly. And throughout the show, the band's talking about the weather.
Oh,
the...
wait. I'm sorry. That reminds me of my headline.
Please.
Neither rain nor mud nor gloom of night stays the Rim Liquor residency from rocking the fuck out.
It's true. It might have helped, in fact, all those things.
Yes.
This venue was... It was actually originally supposed to be at a place called Carnation Farms, but it moved to Remlinger Farms, which is also in Carnation, Washington. I still have the email where it was like, we changed venues. I don't know. I think Remlinger was larger, but they did not sell more tickets to accommodate. I think it was only 2,000 to 3,000 people. It was basically it's an empty grassy field with a stage in it, and it was perfect. It wasn't too muddy, at least at first. And it was a beautiful Pacific Northwest scene with like the pine trees tickling the balls of the clouds.
That's right.
As they passed over.
I hear the bathroom lines, the porta potty lines were long, but the field was flat enough. You could still see the show from there. There's the capacity all told, I think, is 6,000, but I guess they didn't have that many there. It is a 50-acre working farm and something like a family amusement park. There's like a you pick 'em strawberry field, corn mazes, something about frozen pies, apple pies, frozen apple pie. I don't know what a frozen pie is, but that's what the website says.
I could see the berry picking. I don't know about any like amusement rides. I didn't see any of that. We did have to drive just through a grassy field to park. It was pretty rustic, but it was awesome. It sounded great. The stage setup was good. There was food and stuff. It was just kind of cold and rainy.
This show is tricky to watch. I hope that I did, man. Of course, the first night is all up in full and there are recordings of the others. I don't know what happened. I ended up piecing together videos from other nights. There was a professional film crew that filmed the whole show, and I'm not aware of nights 2 and 3 in full posted anywhere, though each song is posted professionally recorded.
That's good and a little frustrating.
It is.
But yeah, this
one
was
could
recorded.
Make a playlist.
Yes. Has anyone? Have you?
No. Make a playlist?
Okay.
I didn't.
There will be links to things. I know that Nugs.net stream these shows for pay, which, you know, Giz no longer does. They do it for free now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this was that brief window where you could pay to watch Giz shows. And they didn't enforce the copyright because they're, like you said, professional video, full thing, night one is up.
Right. Yeah. There was a famous Mystery Jack recording from under a tree.
Yeah. He tied his microphones to a tree on kind of the right side of the stage. It worked.
Yeah. Cool.
Let's get into it. First thing I think is obvious. We usually do drip of the day. I think we can call a drip of the weekend. And
okay.
I think it's a duo situation.
Yeah, I don't think there's much question about the overalls in this case, which are doing a lot of lifting. They fulfill the farm motif, but these are not just any overalls.
No, no. These are the overalls from the Silver Cord Thea set music video, which we didn't know was coming. And that's actually... the overalls are only like one of a few hints of Silver Cord stuff that happen at these shows. Did you know that? I will explain
no.
as we proceed.
Please, good.
But not
when
now.
When did set come out? Do you know?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. It wasn't now because the first night was when Petro came out.
That's for very true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Should we go to the first show, to the first night?
Here we are. They come out. Stu and Joey are in overalls with no shirts underneath. And right away, we're into Stu's Feet Meet Beat.
We love you so much. Really, really do. I know we say that every night, but we fucking love you so much.
Stu's Feet Meet Beat, of course, is a segment where we cover Stu's feet. Cover his uncovered feet, I should
right.
say.
Right. Don't cover them. He immediately, took them off for a reason.
Immediately, Stu is... He just comes out shoeless and sockless and stays that way the whole show. which is a terrible idea given that there are large puddles on the stage and high voltage electrical equipment everywhere.
Right. He should really be wearing rubber boots.
Yeah.
Rubber baby buggy boots.
Kinda.
Should be. Yep. But he doesn't.
Yep. So that's Stu's Beat Meat Beat. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. I think I have some more material on that later.
Just so you know, this shit is insanely fun for us as well.
And then we open with Mars for the Rich. This song, I just want to say, it's interesting for me. This song sticks out from the others on the album in a way. It's like less thrash and more organized. And I was noticing how the keyboards kind of create like more of an orchestrated feel, which is simultaneously why I think it went well with the orchestra, but also why I don't really need the orchestra for this song.
Right. It's unnecessary. I get it. Yeah, I think I see what you mean about the song. Sure.
It's sort of more melodic, less thrashy.
Unlike the next song?
Unlike the fucking next song, which is perhaps the thrashiest off of Infest
Thrasmas.
Organ
Farmer.
Yeah.
It had a tiny jam. And Ambrose all night, and I think all weekend, his Moog was high enough in the mix that you could hear it. He's doing some cool things with different wave signs and triangle waves and whatever else knobs.
I often wonder what keyboards do sometimes, but often other times when we get different mixes from these Giz shows, we get a little taste of what the keyboards are doing. It's fun when you listen a lot to different versions of this song. You eventually figure out what other instruments are doing just because the mix is different on different lengths.
And then Joey says, our new album came out today, so... Fucking oath? Is that what he says?
I don't know what you're saying, and I didn't catch it.
Oh yeah, new album came out today, so fucking oath.
Fucking oath. And again, we mark the counter for Joey's talking to bad word ratio.
Oh, good. Yes, that's right.
Yeah, this is a game you can play along at home, which is, can Joey say non-song things without saying bad words? Or what
so.
That ratio is. It's really amazing.
This is not a drinking game, because that wouldn't be safe.
No, it's not.
No. This is...
Supercell.
Fascinating to me that... Giz's influence in your life is building to this crescendo at a moment when they're so metal, because I know that you were at this show and I know that this show had a profound impact on you, and you're not a particularly metallic gentleman.
Mm-mm. I'm more,
but they are so metal in this moment.
I like to think of myself as
kind of a latex.
Oh.
What are their materials?
I mean, there are natural materials, but you think latex is natural. Knit. Latex comes from trees, I suppose.
Some kind of alloy.
Oh, well, that's metal.
It's true, usually. Almost always, in all cases. Pretty early in Ambi's crash cymbal playing career, maybe?
Did we say Supercell? This is Supercell?
We did. We said, okay. Yes, but you have to say it twice. Supercell.
Super sale. Yeah, Ambrose killing the cymbal. The poor cymbal.
Yeah, poor little Symbol. Or was he playing it already on Infest the Ratsnet's songs prior to this? I wonder when the Symbol was installed on his synth table.
Well, we know we didn't see it during Chunky Shrapnel movie.
No, they didn't need three drummers.
And that was the Rat's Nest tour.
Right, but they've played it live. They've played Rat's Nest songs since then. Did maybe Eric, you know, came to the boys. He said, guys, I'm going to miss you. I've got a lot of things going on in my life, but I've brought you something to always remember me by, and sweet, it's the Symbol.
But know. But Ambrose, I don't know. I thought he started playing it on Petro songs. Supercell, Dragon, Motor Spirit.
Plausible. Yeah. I'm just asking the questions.
Teaching the controversy.
That's
and
right.
Joey, and after they end, he gives a nice Yes Queens, very happy about Supercell.
There are a lot of Yes Queens in this show. He says that quite a bit.
2023 was a different time.
And Joey says white chocolate. I don't know why. And this is as an intro into I'm in your mind, which is not. I don't know. I don't know what he means by that. Why, Joey, though, really? Why this? Anyway, an amazing suite. Probably my highlight of the weekend. I love this In Your Mind suite so much. God, Ambie's harmonica is beautiful. And
I have a memory of during I'm in Your Mind, a guy I kind of know from a music scene, he got the zoomies and he just started running, and he just running around the venue having a just like smiling and sprinting, and I enjoyed that. And
do you know if he had pooped recently?
I don't know. Is that how it works with dogs?
Dogs, yeah. I think so.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. I do want to call out someone else that I don't know, which is the security dude with the beard. This dude was, I think he was a fan, and I think I've seen him on the subreddit, the KGATLW subreddit.
We'll edit out the pauses between.
Good lord. Yes, I think I've seen him there, and he's singing along for a lot of these songs. So I'm in Your Mind into I'm Not in Your Mind, which had Alter Me quotes immediately followed by Dripping Tap Jesus and quotes, whoa, baby.
Cellophane, of course, and I'm in Your Mind fuzz. So just amazing. It's so fucking good. A long set. I mean, you can divide it into songs and say it's a bunch of things, but it just went on for a very long, happy time. A lot of Dripping Tap in here.
A lot of Dripping Tap.
Not just a wee bit. It dripped all over.
All over the show and the next show. Yeah, Stu had a solo on Cellophane, which I really liked.
Yeah,
and then we get a huge sense.
Yeah, Joey introduced the KGLW notes say, and I think this is wrong, that Stu introduced Joey as John Frusciante, because I think Joey said John Frusciante.
That's right.
Everyone.
Yes, yeah. That's correct.
And I wasn't sure why, but I guess the intro of Sense sounds a little like Under the Bridge.
That's what I was thinking, something like that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this intro is Slow Jam 1, as far as I can tell.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'll do it, thanks, Nico.
You can roll with it.
Thanks for coming.
Woo!
It's beautiful. Delicious. Take a minute. Take a minute. Soak it in.
John Frusciante, everyone.
Yeah, right. Cool.
And then they actually get into the song.
They do. I think I've said it before, but just want to say everyone has their inspirations that they pull from, but I don't know of another band that calls them out so quickly, you know, so freely, so comfortably. Says, hey, we're gonna play like we're the Red Hot Chili Peppers now. Hey, now
Beastie
we're the
Boys.
Beastie Boys.
Yeah, it's nice, right?
It's amazing.
I mean, there's a balance because they don't play covers like almost ever. What, they play one a year. Where there are other bands that I see that play, you know, a third of the show is a cover. And so, you know, it's nice. It's nice to hear them talk about their influences without playing a full song. I like that.
You can sing. You can sing Under the Bridge to the opening of the song, right? Do-do-do-do-do-do, under the bridge of town, da-da-da, what the hey.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
You
well,
can.
I've done it.
You just, wow, you did. I couldn't do that.
Okay. Nah, you couldn't do that. Couldn't do that.
And, definitely. You know, not just, you know, and not just calling out their influence, but Stu, this is part of their transparency. Just orchestrating, conducting verbally.
Yeah.
Saying things like, let's get funky now, when they start the jam.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Sense.
Another verse.
Up. The verse. Yeah, E, E, E. And Sense can take, like, not just had the Slow Jam 1 intro, but actually had Slow Jam 1 vocal quotes and all sorts of things. I see on KGLW.net notes, Welcome to the Jungle? Somehow, I did not hear that.
I didn't catch it. Maybe Ambi just said that, which he has done before. I definitely heard a big magma section in there, which didn't get caught in the notes, but I promise it happened. And yeah, so much slow jam.
Yeah, good sense. And then followed by Grim Reaper with Joey and Stu at the Little Baby Nathan.
Yeah, Little Baby Nathan plays an interesting role in these shows. A terrifying role in these shows, considering how much moisture there is all around him. This, I feel like this has become a canonical performance of Grim Reaper.
Mm.
This is like my go-to video version. I watched this version many times with my son. Big, big fat torture chamber section, right? The
Yay.
Lyrics from the
yeah.
unreleased song, Torture Chamber. Ambi gets all up on the crowd a few times over the weekend, but this mm-hmm. is the first time.
Yeah, he gets on the barrier step, and I always wonder if I were at the rail like that and Ambrose came like right next to me, What would I do? Am I supposed to look at him? I shouldn't touch him, right?
I don't know. I think you could touch him. I think there are probably right and wrong ways to touch any wild animal. But
should I devein a shrimp?
You should, yeah. And eye contact while touching?
Just one.
That might be too much. They say not to smile with teeth.
Don't show your teeth, yes.
Yeah.
Right. More Stu conducting here. Twice in the song he says, key change. All right, key change. and then like, this big torture chamber thing, which I don't know at the time, did we even know if it had a name?
Yeah, and I
Ambrose
guess.
He's reading. He's reading from a paper that's taped to the stage.
I wonder how early it's mentioned in the KGLW notes. So it must have come, that must be fairly early. I don't know if they go back and change these notes. By God, I hope they don't.
I don't think so.
It's too much work they do already, so I would assume not.
Thank you, KGLW.net people.
My God, we salute you. Yeah. It's unbelievable. What an incredible resource for a certain sort of person that we happen to be.
We get a big, in Grim Reaper, a big intergalactic beat drop, and Stu jumping up and down, loving it. He seems thrilled about it. And at this point, he puts on some sunglasses, which at the time no one had seen before, but they are the silver cord sunglasses.
Wow, I did not catch that.
Mm-hmm.
Well done. There's another important clue, hint of what was to come.
And there's one more coming up, which is okay. Musical.
I'm ready.
Yeah, huge Grim Reaper. And then we get Change in Shanghai. And I mention them together because at this time, I had been obsessing about Changes and Butterfly. Those two albums. I don't know why, they just hit me. So, which it's kind of like going back to what you said about me not being especially metallic and Petro coming out on this day. It was tough. The metal was a little tough for me.
Oh, you poor little guy.
But hearing Change in Shanghai was really delightful for me. Stu counts off Change with one, a two, a one, two, buckamashu.
Good mate.
Good brah.
A one, a two, a one, two, buckamashu.
Yeah, I mean, these are like, I don't know, early, this is what was a Nathan song at the time or something. This is just like heavy synth, and there was no Nathan songs yet, right? But Baby Nathan is there, and you've just got a lot of synth keyboards throughout the weekend, some interesting usages of them, and Change goes for a long time.
I love Cabs. He's got the shuffle beat in the first section, and then when they get quiet, Stu goes chill.
Nice.
At some point in Change, I remember this, Ambrose goes, it gets quiet. There's a break in a lot of Giz songs, and Ambrose says, "So that's it." No, I'm just kidding. And then tries to gets everyone to chant, change. And Lucas joins at the table for a little bit.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't catch that. That's an early manifestation of that, truly. Yeah. Shanghai, for me, the huge Grow Wings and Fly jam is awfully notable here. It's one of the more fleshed out versions of this song that exists 3 years before the song is released as a song officially. Two and some change.
Well, they're known for this. You know, they have, they'll demo things early. Like, I think Omnium Gatherum, the album, is a collection of stuff that just they wrote over many years. Feels like that. Sounds like it. I noticed Stu and Ambrose during Shanghai just, like, having a lot of fun training lyrics, going back and forth with lines, and just looking at each other and smiling. It seemed really nice. Whatever happened, I mean, I think they liked it, because at the end, Ambrose goes, "Okay, interesting stuff." And Joey says, "Very interesting."
Okay.
All right, interesting stuff.
Very interesting.
I agree. It's weird. And then...
Tell them about them polar bears, Cookie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wait, did you hear that?
Oh my, hold on. I can't. Oh, there it is.
That sound means it's time for Cookie Watch. You and I both know that Cookie Watch is a registered trademark of Kraft Nabisco. We don't own that trademark. Kraft Nabisco is, of course, a wholly owned subsidiary of Mondelez International. It's a snacking powerhouse from Chicago, Illinois. The band goes into Ambergris. Ambrose says this is a song about Free Willy. Ambergris is, of course, a thing that comes from Wales. But the Cookie Watch part of this is the funky keys.
Hold up, dry martinis. Sounds about Free Willy.
Fucking G-Funk Cookie, you got some going on there, bro. That is pimp juice. Pimp juice.
You been drinking that pimp juice again?
Nice.
Beautiful. I didn't know what ambergris. I mean, it is ambergris, but I think it's called ambergris, even though it is an ambergris made from the digestive tract of whales, possibly from the digestion of parts of their diet, including squid beaks, especially sperm whales. And it's used in making perfume, maybe?
And happy candles.
And, right. And sometimes called floating gold. I didn't know that. I never heard of ambergris.
That was my nickname in high school.
Ambergris. Floating gold, they called him. Or ambergris.
Ambergris. Then we get into Hot Water. Another, at the time, maybe canonical version.
Yes, I was going to say exactly that. This is... The song should almost be called Hot Water Joe Walker.
Delightful. Not especially long or jammy, but really fun.
You know who wrote this song?
Joe Walker wrote this song. It's Stu who starts the Joey Walker part. I don't know how he got where that came from.
Everybody's Joey Walker.
Everybody's Joey Walker. It's so good. It's so stupid.
Yeah, right.
It's at this point where Stu and Joey have this conversation about Rimlicker and the name. But
that's right.
But before this, actually, it's Ambrose who first calls the people in the crowd Rimlickers.
And he'll continue to do it. There's an awkward exchange between Stu and Joey. Stu urging Joey, "What this place? What have we discussed? Jeez, I don't know what we discussed."
Give it up for these two farmers we picked up on the show today.
Yeehaw! Fuck yeah! Yeehaw!
They're doing real good for a country couple, boys.
The sun's out over there, everyone. There's no more rain tonight.
Ah, we love it. We love
What do we call it, Joey? Read this, Joey. Where we are? Where was? What's it called again?
We love. You know, vaping. Having a vape.
No, it is the farm.
Oh, Rimlicker Farms.
We love Rimlicker Farms.
Joey's awkward. Yeah. It's funny how awkward he is sometimes. I don't know. Oh, that's what we call it. Oh,
Rimlicker.
Yeah. Yes.
It's actually during Hot Water, before the lyrics start, that I think there's a Thea tease from Joey.
Shut up. Really? I see your point. God, you might be right. Nah, I don't know.
It could be an accident, but it kind of feels like it. Really fun Hot Water. I don't know. Like, the last Hot Water I saw was Field of Vision Night 2, and that thing was pretty awesome, too.
Yes, it was pretty awesome, too. But until then, I would have said this is the Hot Water that I would play for anyone.
But there's the Hot Water in Australia where Ambrose fell to the ground. Was that a Hot Water?
I don't know. It sounds like a slippery water. I'm not sure.
Maybe that was a tap. Then we get an Altered Beast suite, A New World,
yeah.
Altered Beast 1, Alter Me 1, Altered Beast 2.
We do. I'm going to be honest. Nobody yell at me. Everyone's going to yell at me. It's not like I like it. I like this album. It's not my favorite suite in the studio. But fuck, I love it live.
Mm-hmm.
So much harmonic. It just kicked such fucking ass. The lyrics are, I don't know. They're kind of, they're silly. I see an altered beast over there by a tree. Over there by a tree. Look, look, it's an altered beast. Hey, still can see him. But it's fantastic, and I'm thrilled every time I hear it live, especially. I haven't sat down often and re-listened to the studio version.
Yeah, I'm that way with most songs from Giz, actually. I mean, I can't think of something where I prefer the studio version.
Maybe yeah. Catching Smoke.
Catching Smoke. I do prefer the studio version to nothing. Thank you very much, Stu.
Greatly. Yep, correct.
And then we get... so the printed set list... had Lava, Gamma Knife, and Robot Stop on it. And they did not play Lava or Gamma Knife, and I would have loved to hear Lava. That would have been something special. I think they ran out of time, and there's some confusion on the stage. I'm talking, what do we do now? Joey just says, let's play Robot.
I like to confuse my friends, says Stu. And first myself, and then my friends.
So we just don't know.
Playing in a band is fun.
That's how lead singer.
I like to confuse my friends all the time, and sometimes myself as well. Mostly I confuse myself, and then I confuse everyone else too.
Robot Stop is also itself shortened, unfinished,
yeah.
But has Hot Water teases, Dripping Tap teases, Witchcraft t-shirts.
Singing.
Yeah.
At some point, Ambrose is feeding tequila to Lucas and Cookie.
Tequila monster!
This is George Clooney's finest.
Like tequila.
I understand. As someone who barely drinks, I get it. Tequila usually works for me. It doesn't have ill effects in small amounts. Mm-hmm. I can't claim that they're having small amounts, though.
Yeah, I don't think Gimpy's having small amounts. No. Never say that to the tequila monster's face.
He's so cooked. That was night one. So I just want to say, before we move to night two, when this show ended with that unfinished robot stop, I stood in that damp, dark field for 30 minutes, not knowing what had just happened to me. I'd never seen a show like this. And I tried to come up with a number. I'd probably seen about 1,000 concerts of some kind in my life up to this point, and I'd never seen shit like this before. And I honestly didn't know if it was some sort of fluke or what until the next time I saw Giz in Portland the next year. And I was like, oh, this is not a fluke. That's just how they be.
Yeah. I mean, just look at the ground they cover. Look at the styles of music that just happened over this one night. It's fucking absurd. From metal to changes to soul to rap to whatever the fuck you call the Altered Beast suite, right? I mean, I don't know. It's like sci-fi. Of course. What else is like that? Who the fuck else does that? There's nothing like that.
No.
That I'm aware of. If it is, I wasn't invited.
Maybe we should take the question mark off of our intro to the podcast.
God damn right.
I'm not comfortable with that yet. Night two, the first ever Static Electricity opening.
Oh, yeah, right. Not often played anyway, right? 22 show gap here.
Not common. Cool opener. I'm trying to figure out these time signatures. So there's like 16 bars of 4-4, which, you know, is during the chorus. And then the verses, I have read that it's 6 bars of 15-8. You tell me, man.
I can't help you. I'd have to sit and do the math right now. I don't have my... If I had a little time and an abacus, I believe I could get that done for you, but I don't. I have neither. I have a little time. I don't own an abacus.
Oh, you don't? Okay. Mm-hmm. It seemed like a good name for a Giz song.
Time and abacus.
Abacus. Yeah.
Abacus. It'd be a Joey song for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very flying microtonal banana feel. It's not... Right? It's a KG LW. Is it KG or LW?
Oh, I thought you meant the guitar.
No, I mean this song.
It's definitely KG or LW.
That's true. Yeah. But it's got, I don't know. I just feel like it's a very, it's just got like a more raw vibe for me. Kind of feels more like earlier microtonal than later. Apparently written by Stu and Ambie.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's interesting. It sounds like acid to me.
Was apparently written by Lysergic Acid. In the studio, they just left him alone at night in a small petri dish. And nice. When they woke up in the morning, there was the song.
That explains formed. The time signature.
It does.
This was followed by Nuclear Fusion, and our
if you will.
Yeah, right. Fusion Nucléaire.
Fusion Nucléaire.
The band had Gaspard come out. He's from Belgium, like Dr. Evil. They had Gaspard, the drum and guitar tech, maybe, come out.
It's cool that he speaks French and not just Belgish.
Flemish? Belgish. Sorry, you're right. My bad.
Pretty sure. Excuse me. Belgish.
It's rough. It's kind of rough to hear it without the effects on the microphone, on the vocal.
with one notable exception, which is the KEXP version where Joey does the effects himself. He says nuclear fusion. And there are some clips of that seeming to genuinely upset Ambie.
It's a very serious rock band. One more microtonal Honey, which had some Sleep Drifter teases. Oh, beautiful song.
I wish I had more Honey in my life.
What'd that mean?
I just would love to hear it more.
Oh,
it doesn't get played often enough, especially anymore for my taste. I love this song. It's a nice video too. Not much happens in it, but it's just like very well produced, pretty nicely filmed. There's a cool discussion on this song. KEXP's Isolated Tracks series. Go look this up. It's fantastic. Stu shows his Ableton and goes through the way that he constructed this song, and it's fucking awesome.
Whoa, I didn't know about that. Okay.
It's quite special.
I'll get the link for the show notes. And then we get into Metal.
Speaking of Tequila Monsters.
So, interesting thing happens right before Gila Monster. We hear, and you see in the audience, there's an inflatable green animal bouncing around. And the band asks, what is that thing? Is that a tadpole? Whatever. And you can, if you listen closely, you hear someone in the audience say, Gila Monster. It's a Gila Monster, right, which is the next song.
See?
What? How?
Well, the video would have come out. Is that true?
I don't know, but I know that the audience didn't know what the next song was going to be.
No, but if you have a big lizardy creature in the crowd and the perhaps most recent, most popular song by the band was Gila Monster. Can we just like talk for a second about how much it upsets me that people insist on saying Gila?
Who says
Monster?
That? Who?
I fucking hear it all the time.
Not the band. The
no, never. Of course not. But with meaningful frequency, people say Gila Monster all the time. I've heard people refer to this song as fucking Gila Monster many, many times. People who like the song, people who have heard the song repeatedly that never uses a hard G, say, I love them. They do that song Gila Monster. Fuck right off. They don't have a song called Gila Monster. It's not true.
Right. By the way, the video did come out a month exactly before this.
Seems right.
Yeah. But just cool, like weird that someone had, they were like, Gila Monster. Okay, that's the next song. Awesome Gila Monster. Joey seems very happy. He says, we finally made a metal crowd chant song. Aw.
Finally made a metal crowd chant song that it looks so good when you guys say that stuff.
Yeah, hell yes he did. Not gonna happen with the next song.
Not chanting witchcraft. It's a crazy song.
Fuck. Give me the time signature on this. I mean, I've seen it written down. I've seen videos about the sign. There are wonderful videos about the time signatures on this album, but I can't count it. And it seems like the way the words are sung are like so barely related to whatever's going on with the drums.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
Yes, yes.
And at the end of the song, we get some confirmation from Joey who says, that song's fucking hard.
It's so hard.
Then take a drink, everybody. Take a drink.
I don't feel so good.
This is followed by one of your favorites, Self-Immolate.
Yeah, could be my favorite Giz song, which I don't have one. But as always, a great drum solo here with Joe and Stu staying on guitar, playing along with him as he does his drum solo, which is just fucking wonderful.
Yeah, I mean, so wonderful and maybe unusual that Joe says, what the fuck? So take a drink.
Hell yes, he does.
the fuck?
I love this song so much, and they just kick ass all over it, and Stu's all fucking worked up and swinging his arm around. He does this sometimes. He'll do this straight arm windmill guitar strumming thing that vaguely I can only say reminiscent of, I think, like the Guns N' Roses Sweet Child of Mine video circa like 86. Where they're all swinging their arms in a circle. Not all of them, because less of them play guitar than King Gizzard.
Is he playing? Is Stu, you think he's strumming when he does that? I think he's just summoning spirits.
I think that he's trying to achieve lift.
Achieved every time.
Achieved.
Oh, yeah. Then we get a couple from Polygon. Crumbling Castle into Fourth Color.
The couple.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, what are you going to do? Stu kind of loses the thread for a sec. Like he, when we come into... the second verse? Stu has a false start.
Yes.
Which is fine with me. There's a moment of him yelling into his pickups. He's holding up the guitar and yelling, singing into the pickups of the guitar. I'm not aware that it did anything, but I do like the theory, which it should work. I mean,
can you tell he's yelling?
So I guess I can.
He's not playing with his teeth.
No, he's yelling into the pickups.
That shouldn't work.
Well, I mean, it doesn't, so I guess it shouldn't. But I mean, I think it should, right? I mean,
pickups aren't microphones.
I have no idea. No, mine are.
Your is, because you play an acoustic, whatever the fuck. But no, electric guitar pickups are, they use electromagnetic fields to transfer information.
I don't want to, I just don't want to give the wrong impression of the particular type of asshole I am. For the record, I plug my nylon acoustic into an overdrive pedal, which no one should do.
And
it creates feedback disasters. It's such a problem. I have to like hermetically seal the hole of my guitar.
You might want to fill it too with something.
Gross. It's disgusting. I'm not doing that. This song should and does go with the Fourth Color.
Yeah, it should and does.
Did I mention I love this song? Like, by the way, did I mention it? I want to see the Fourth Color. I really want to see it. I'd like to see the Fourth Color. And maybe I've seen it, but I'd like to see it again. I mean, maybe I've seen it again, but I'd like to see it every now and again.
I can help.
I know you can.
Come to me.
You've been there. You've been there when I've seen the Fourth Color. I'm about due.
It's been a year.
It seems like some bands write songs for the studio that are unreasonable to play live. But our boys love particularly to play exactly those songs live.
Yeah, yeah.
This is certainly one of those songs. It doesn't... There are too many... At one point, it seems like all the instruments are in different time signatures.
They might be.
I think they might be.
Certainly the drums and guitars are.
Yeah. Well, right. And the voices is...
By night two of rain, everything was waterlogged, and so this thing is appropriate. I want to say, I think Joey is low-key the funniest member of a very funny band.
Wow.
We get... Like, he has some comedic capabilities and timing. During this thing, we get this little section. He says, "Let's go, Rimlickers." And then he pronounces the word hard. Hard.
He does say that.
Hard. It's wonderful.
And he may just tell the most jokes.
Let's go, Rimlickers. This thing on the left hand side is waterlogged.
Also, like, look at his, when they had the KG video announcement of the album, They're like, this is the name of our new album, KG. It's a video of Joey, and he turns around. He has shaved KG in the back of his head. You remember this video?
I do.
Yeah. And then the expression on his face is like comedic. It's wonderful. I think he might be the funniest member of a rock band ever.
Cavs is a pretty great comedic actor. I think especially of his muttering in the Healer of Monster video.
So good.
It's so special. And Stu's surprisingly funny sometimes. He's very understated. I just, I think of the piss story at the Sydney Opera House, and Stu says, thank you, Joey, for that very vulnerable story.
Can we all thank Joey? We tell stories now.
Awesome. Thank you. We are King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. We tell stories now.
Stu on keyboards for this thing. Ambi on harmonica, Cookie on guitar. So Cookie takes the guitar and Stu's on the keyboards for this thing without the guitar.
Someone's going to have to ring it out.
Yeah, I guess that's probably what he was doing over there.
Then we get a rare AstroTurf.
AstroTurf. And
I don't know why Stu says, all right, you sick fucks, this song's for all the sick fucks. I don't know why.
All right, you sick fucks. Songs for all the sick fucks.
He's still on the keyboards. Gets a little confused at the beginning.
Someone did not practice this keyboard section.
Sick fuck. Cookie back on the keyboards, but I don't think it's his fault. He's holding down the rhythm fucking tight. But Stu just slips a little bit over one of the keys for a sec.
And eventually moves on to the percussion flute.
Yes! You can hear him singing. As he's playing the flute at a certain point. So that must be how he learned to percussion flute. It's just like, probably someone was trying to say, think to yourself, and he misheard it. And he was like, oh, just sing that into the flute? And so he does.
It's working.
It seems to work this time.
Work this time. Tequila shots
song.
For the band.
Tequila. Shots!
big old Jolo solo. Joey solo.
Jolo.
I hear like... some Eddie Vedder, Eddie Van Halen beat it. Some Hendrix.
Yeah. I didn't like Eddie Vedder's part on Beat It.
You can do the impression. I won't even attempt it.
That's all I got.
Yeah, I do hear some Van Halen. Ray Vaughan, Hendrix, and then Work This Time is followed by The Garden Goblin.
Cookie Dog, what you got?
Who, me?
Yeah, you, man.
Just hanging around.
You're Beetlejuice, baby.
Yeah.
Why is Cookie Beetlejuice?
So Beetlejuice, this is there's a guy called Beetlejuice that was on the Howard Stern show. And there's this video of Howard Stern saying, the guy's name is Beetlejuice, spelled like, I think it's spelled like the planet, not the movie. Anyway, there's some video of Howard Stern.
The red giant.
Howard Stern asked the guy, what are you doing? And he just says, me? No, just hanging around. And I don't know why it's funny, but it is.
Oh, yeah. And he made a pee-pee?
Ambrose made a pee-pee.
Mm, Stu wants to make a pee-pee.
Just piss in my mouth, it's fine.
Joey said you could just piss in my mouth, it's fine. Stu said, thanks, God.
Yeah, I'm
I
so
love
confused.
How much Stu hates God.
Well, yeah, let's do it then.
Ambrose did a pee-pee.
Ambrose did a pee-pee.
Yeah!
I want a pee-pee.
Dude, just piss in my mouth, it's fine.
Okay. Thanks, God.
I mean, right, early Mark. Early signs of Joey Pislove.
Yeah. Right, I guess. Is it God pissing in their mouth? Or is it Stu wants to piss in God's mouth? I feel like that'd be very Stu.
Or Stu feels like the reason he has to pee is because of God.
Oh, thanks, God. Oh, but he was thanking Joey, who offered him the kind service of being Stu's personally urine. I feel uncomfortable now.
Yeah, yeah. I'm very uncomfortable with Joey's love of urine. You're in.
Yeah. Yep.
Garden Goblin, good stuff. And then we get the last song of the night, wow, which is The Dripping Tap.
For and 95 minutes.
A 600-minute Dripping Tap, which starts with the story of Ambrose explaining what the song's about and how it happened.
Okie dokie, okie dokie. So we came up with the idea of this song when it was, it was COVID and my sink was just leaking constantly and I couldn't get a plumber. And it just drove me absolutely insane.
No sink.
And then...
certainly it's not.
I don't think it is, no. We get some Ambrose ass in the video. They're talking about plumber's crack and...
Hubba hubba.
Yeah, he's wondering... Is it Stu who's wondering if we have that term here in the U.S.?
Certainly I thought we had agreed this was the drip of the day. But you went a different way. On
Ambrose
the...
pulling his pants down?
Yes.
Okay, it's a different day, so we can say yes.
That was my feeling.
Joey goes to grab his Ambrose's pants and pull them down further. But Ambrose is... He's a slippery shrimp.
He is. Yeah, very much so.
There's
incredible.
An opening jam. There's like a pre-jam.
Yeah, right, yeah. Which is great, because Ambi is waiting to start the jam. And Ambi usually starts this song, but he can't. He's like, guys, let me in, guys.
Yeah.
Guys.
He gets so impatient that he leaves the stage.
Yes, right. Goes for a bit of a walkabout, as they say in New Zealand.
Remlinger. Oh, yeah. Huge Dripping Tap. What is the total time? 26 minutes?
I thought it was 30 plus.
Jeez, oh man.
You could be right. I did think that.
30 minutes, 34 seconds. Yeah.
Fuck's sake. It's amazing.
Huge.
Yeah, it's really
crumbling
good.
Castle, quotes and teases, cellophane, sea of trees, head on pills. Shit, it's just everywhere and awesome.
I think the like dark section is lifted from Float Along. I think it's the dark section from Float Along.
They're in the same key.
I do think this.
Huh. Amazing. And that was the end of night two.
Joey's very Italian in these shows for some reason. Grazie.
He does that a lot, actually.
He does, but particularly this weekend, he's straight up Mario.
I always find it interesting how much the band, I think, are they signaling that they're done with a song when they say thank you? Because sometimes maybe people don't know when the song's over, which is a reasonable thing to wonder. But
extremely.
A lot of times you get the band, especially Stu, saying thank you after the end of a song.
Yes. Yeah, that's right. They're just nice. They're grateful. They're grateful people. But they it is helpful.
Yeah. Night three.
Night three.
Father's
opens
Day.
With, oh, it is Father's Day. And he says so. And we thank you.
That's one of the reasons I was not at this show.
Oh.
I had to return to my family.
Why? Mother's Day, you send mom to like the spa or something. And Father's Day, he has to cook for everybody on the grill.
That's a good point. My father likes cooking on the grill. I do not.
I could take it or leave it. It's still a kind of a work, an emotional work sometimes, depending on how it goes. I don't particularly want to go to the spa either, but
this is the spa.
You know, I'd love to if, you know, but I don't think I'd be allowed to run away with you and see four colors.
Come on, really?
On Father's Day? I could try, but I think it would hurt their feelings.
Oh, I see. Oh, that's
just like you couldn't.
I just want some rim licking on Father's Day. Is that too much to ask?
I think it's exactly too much.
Farms, the farm.
Sure. Nope, still uncomfortable. Stu says thank you for coming out and braving the cold. Everybody's gear is wrapped in extravagant plastic.
It's been a crazy weekend, and they open with more microtunnel like they did the previous night.
Da-da-da-da-doom tunnel.
Doom City.
Yeah. Ah, I love it. Nasty song.
Yep.
Just great. It's so like nasty jammy. I love the combination of gritty, grody, like we're going to get in later when we get KGLW.
And there's just really good effects on these guitars. Like really crunchy and piercing. Mm-hmm. I love it. All Is Known was next.
It is. All Is Known. Mm. All Is Known. Again, I've said it before. I find it hard to sing along with this song. The phrasing somehow always surprises me. I want to sing it at times that they don't. Anoxia played for the first time in 52 shows.
I want to see something. Right. Okay, I was correct. So this is one of the few guest songs that does not have the title in the lyrics.
Oh.
That's a thing that they do.
I've been singing this wrong.
Uh-oh. How have you been singing it?
Anoxia, 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 Anoxia.
No, it's not in there.
We waste no time leaving in light. The blue of the sun makes the breeze tonight. Hello. Let's jump.
Fool me, fool me, fool me once.
That's two songs in a row.
I'm
singing
some
wrong.
Kind of asshole. Yeah. Apparently, this is about the Saturday bushfires in Victoria, Australia. Nasty story. People fled the fires into areas like big sports fields where they did escape the flames. But because of the intensity of the fires, the area was anoxic. The oxygen was pulled out of the area, and all of these like untouched bodies were lying in the aftermath dead from asphyxiation, from lack of oxygen, instead of burns or even smoke inhalation.
Oh my god.
There just was no oxygen there. Yeah, nasty.
When did this happen?
In Victoria, Australia. I told you already. Victoria.
When?
Victoria, Australia. I don't know how to make it any clearer to you. Joey considers this his Neil Young song.
Because it's sad?
Don't know. Don't know why.
Let me get a Straws in the Wind.
Yes, please.
Happy Father's Day, says Ambrose. Also says,
yes.
I'm going to suck you, eat you raw. He's referring to straws. I don't think that's related to Father's Day. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Why would you eat straws raw? What, are you going to cook them? I guess now that you put it that way.
Yeah.
Stu, as Cavs is playing the... Do you call those toms? What's on the far right?
Yeah.
His drum. He's playing the toms. And Stu is standing at the very end of the chord. As far as he can go, he's holding the microtonal banana and he's rotating Cav's tom while he plays the opening riff, a drum riff on the toms. I'm not sure that I can hear any effect created by it.
Why?
Don't know.
Huh.
Don't know. Why would you yell into your pickups?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he sees some colors we don't.
He absolutely does.
Right. Cavs has now stripped off the jacket that I could never quite place to reveal a Ride the Lightning Metallica t-shirt, which was my drip of the third day.
Uh-huh.
My son just got a Metallica t-shirt for his, the little captain got a Metallica t-shirt for his, for his birthday, which is on Valentine's Day. And, he was very excited to see Cavs wearing, a Ride the Lightning t-shirt. He said, "Oh, Cavs is wearing Metallica shirt. Is Stu okay with that?"
What do you think? Why?
I don't know. And just like he wearing other bands' shirts. I said, yeah, they wear Cavs other bands' shirts all the time. A lot of them wear other bands' shirts. And he said, "Does Stu?" And I said, "No, I don't think he does." So from the mouths of little captains.
Yeah, as far as I know, Cavs is the only person who wears other bands' t-shirts on stage. I can't think of another case. Unless Dance is the name of a band I don't know about.
I think that I have seen them wear band t-shirts, but they wouldn't wear, like, popular band t-shirts. But I don't think I've ever seen Stu do it.
No. KGLW outro is next. Fuck, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to say, during Straws in the Wind, I think Ambie's doing quite a bit of ad-libbing at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Says, did he just say, I'm asking, did he just say, I'm just another prawn in the game?
Yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure, if that wasn't the last time, he's done that since, I believe, unless I've just listened to this show that many times, which is possible, that like, I've listened to this Straws more than anything. Any other Straws.
So good. Such a nasty little dark section before the final outro. I was thinking how good it is, and Joey had the kindness to confirm with a hell yeah. At the same time, I said it. Joey and I said hell yeah together at the end of this version. I don't know if I said it the last time I saw this or heard this version, or if Joey said it the last time I heard him play this version, but we said it at the same time this time.
You guys are on the same wave.
Andy said, "Thank you, Straws." No, we were not. Thank you, Straws.
Hell yeah.
Thank you, Straws.
Into KGLW outro, which I just can't deal with how much I love this fucking song.
Yeah. I don't. It's so weird that I'm a pretty critical person, and I don't have a problem with rhyming the same word with itself.
Two.
Yeah.
Yes, two and two. Right. No, good for you.
Not even like the homonyms, but the homophones, but the actual same two.
Right. KG rhymes with cage. I assume that's what you mean. Massive, beautiful finale to what has been a big microtonal set now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so good. Like you said, it's all these effects, but I don't know. It's just the word that comes to mind is like nasty. It's so crunchy, grimy.
Yeah.
And it just, God, tickles something deep inside my lizard brain.
Okay. Yeah. It makes you give you a stank face.
It does. It sure does. agreed.
We get a short metal section next. Converge, followed by Hell.
Converge. They haven't played this much yet. This, I believe, is the fifth time they've ever played this live. And I was just noting it's looser. They've just gotten a lot tighter over time, of course, as they do with these songs. But it's funny because Stu has represented the evolution of the live band as one that has gotten a lot looser over time, and that's allowed them to expand. But not exactly fucking true, because they're so much tighter in a lot of these songs now, having played them so many times.
Yeah, I think the written sections are tighter. Maybe he means looser in that they improvise more, but the...
No, he says sections, they just fuck up a lot more. And I don't know if that's true.
I disagree.
Yeah. I also disagree with him about what I said.
Mm. Converge followed by Hell.
Hell. I love the heavy double kick drums on Remember Where to Enter.
Yeah, it's really good.
Oh, making me so happy.
And then the rest of the show is just, it's monstrous. This is huge stuff. Let me just list it out. And then, okay. So Her and okay. I, what's the Slow Jam 2? Her and I, Slow Jam 2. Evil Death Roll, Invisible Face, Into Wawa, Into the River, Into Wawa, Into the River, Into Float Along. That's the set list from KGLW.net. That's not what's actually written in the release. They don't separate the river in the actual official release. It's Wawa, Into the River, Into Float Along.
Okay. Well, I don't know whether to mention this now or when we get there. Maybe when we get there. But when you look for this video, which somehow is part of a larger professionally filmed concert film that is not released, you will think you can't find this video, but it's called Wawa River.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it is the Wawa River.
Uh-huh.
Which
well, let's
is correct.
Start
but
with
first,
Her and I.
Yeah.
Which is
the tiny little metal set is over, and boy, do they a hairpin turn into Slow Jam.
Which has some hard, hot, chunky jamming in it. And
it does,
some
but not at the
tees.
Beginning. At the beginning, it's very delicate.
Of course. We have a magenta mountain tease,
mm-hmm.
and then we have some hard jamming, which is
yes,
great.
Yes, fat-assed jam. I by the way, I always love the gnarly harmonica jam in Her and I. It's canonical, abrupt Ambi take it away moment where Ambi starts screaming on the harmonica and they take a
key change,
a louder turn. Yeah, it's wonderful.
It's a 19-minute Her and I, followed by another big jammer, Evil Death Roll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which itself is a nice sort of Nonagon tour. It's sort of a Nonagon set in a single song.
Yeah, Nonagon Infinity opens the door.
It does. Happens
as
to.
Stu says.
Evil Death Roll, in this case, opens the door to Nonagon Infinity, which also opens doors
to
Crocodiles.
That's the infinity part.
That's right. Nonagon Infinity opens Death Roll into Invisible Face.
Cool to hear that.
could not find the high quality video of this one song.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yep, I'm sure it's somewhere.
Huh, okay. I will look, but you know how to use the internet.
Generally.
So how would you describe what happens next here?
Ooh.
Because on of the official release, it's Wawa and the River. Two separate, in that order.
I believe this is rightly called the Wawa River. It's sort of a short Wawa intro into the river, which contains a bunch of other stuff. Her and I, Am I in Heaven, I guess, but anything off of that album sounds like Am I in Heaven. Hell's Itch, some Evil River Jam, right? There's like a big Evil River Jam. When did Stu have shoes or not have shoes over the course of this?
Oh, I don't know.
Definitely doesn't have shoes at this point. Then back into Wawa, and then back into the river. And by the way, River Wawa used to be a more common progression. We covered it last episode in our
Chunky Shrapnel
episode, because they do river into Wawa, and that was a thing they did a bit. They will do Wawa River Wawa about three times in total. The first being in Detroit about 7 months prior to this, and they're going to do it one more time after this in Milan about a year from this point.
Is it always, so I'm looking at the KGLW notes, it is Wawa, then the river parts 1, 2, and 3, then Wawa, third verse of Wawa, and then yeah. River part
3.
That actually says 3, yeah.
It does say 3. I think it is 3 then.
Parts 3 of the river twice?
I guess so.
Eh, whatever, dude. It's Wawa.
I don't
river.
Know the parts
Wonderful.
Of the river that way.
Wawa. We're
I
saying
mean, Wawa. If someone river. Plays the river, I think, oh, there's the river. But if someone plays part 3 of the river, I don't say, oh, look, it's part 3 of the river.
Mm-mm.
I never said that once till now.
Until now.
I've said it.
That
now
would record it. Oh, shit.
There it is.
And this is all followed by the last song of the weekend, Float Along, which is wonderful.
Yeah, it is. At the beginning, Joey hits a vape or something. Something's going up there. The steam smoke machine is turning on. I've never known Joey to vape, but a lot of smoke comes out of his mouth. That's probably what happened. I bet it smells wonderful at the beginning. And then they're not sure who's supposed to start. Stu's not sure who's supposed to start. And Joey kind of laughs and points to Stu, who takes the opening lick.
It's funny.
It sort of takes them a moment to line up with each other.
That intro question, I noticed that happened at Field Division 2, actually, where they're looking at each other and Joey points to Stu and Stu's like, okay, and he does
maybe
the intro.
Maybe that is the intro.
The pointing. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why couldn't there be a visual aspect to all these songs? A composed visual performance.
There could always have been.
There could always have been. This has Evil Jam, lots of good synth in it. There's what I would call a dragon jam in this.
Right. KGLW thought that too, and I accept.
I didn't even see that in those show notes. I just came up with that on my own because I'm a special fella. Cabs goes hard at this.
Yeah.
It's a 9-minute version that does a lot.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Okay. breathe a deep breath.
Thank you! Thanks so
much! And that's Rimlicker Farms, three nights of wonderful music. Farms.
Yeah, it's fantastic. 10 stars of 5. Go see it. Go to Rimlicker Farms and go watch the show there.
Man, I would love for them to come back.
It's not too late. Oh, it's too late. I'm reading here. It's too late. It already happened in 2020.
Late by 3 years.
Fuck. We already covered, right, rumors about albums and upcoming shows. Let me ask you this. You mentioned that in addition to Forest Hills and Field of Vision in 2026, that there's some possibility that there would be a San Francisco show. What is that based on?
There have been rumors of Giz performing at Outside Lands, which happens August 7th through 9th. It's in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, and it would line up for the band. But those are just rumors. I have no additional information. A few people have mentioned it, that they've heard something. It's possible, and this could be that seventh thing, and boy, would that be nice.
Yeah. Gosh. Would you go to that? Would I go to that? Can't go to that. It would be when?
The you weekend before.
This is good radio.
It would be the weekend before Field of Vision, which makes things great and difficult.
Same. Yes. Makes grapes difficult.
So if this happens, which kind of makes some sense since they'll be in the west of the U.S. already. They'll just come a few days early. It would be this Outside Lands on like probably the 8th of August, and then Field of Vision the next weekend, and then Forest Hills the following. I have no additional information. Sorry. But okay. That would be cool. And they do seem to like festivals.
Keep us posted. They do seem to.
I'll keep you posted.
Please do.
Yeah. And we got the rest of the news out of the way at the beginning of the show. So Omnium Gatherum, what random shit do you got?
No, I was going to mention Galaxy Brain interview with Stu.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's all right. That was my Omnium Gatherum. What else is going on in your gatherums?
I have one Giz related and one not. And so you can have one of mine. How's that? We'll each have one.
Sure.
So go. Go. Do it. Go.
I'm going to cover your second one first.
Okay, good. So that would be, I recently received the Field of Vision vinyl box set from Levitation. Ordered it in September.
Yes.
I've never paid this much money for a box set, but it's 12 records. It's all of Field of Vision. It's really well mixed. The packaging is amazing. Again, this is the one from Levitation. Great photos, posters. It's incredible. Vinyl's so inconvenient. And one of the reasons it's inconvenient is because you can only put so much sound on one side of a record. So there are a few transitions that are cut, including maybe my favorite of the weekend, which
don't say it.
Which is Mr. Beat in the Field of Vision.
Isn't it Robot Stop?
No, sorry.
I think you're right. God, it was so fucking good.
It was.
That's heartbreaking. Yeah.
So the second thing is last night I saw a show by a Grateful Dead cover band drag band called Grateful Drag. They called Bertha Grateful Drag. Oh my God. It was incredible.
Birth of Grateful Drag?
Oh, sorry. Bertha.
Berthan.
Bertha.
Birthing.
Birthing. Grateful Drag. I kind of expected them, you know, be fun in the drag sense, and then like the music would be okay, but they really can play and they jammed.
Awesome.
And, you know, it reminded me of Giz doing drag stuff. And there was a drag performance during set break, which was really fun. That was Grateful Drag. Awesome show. And which one of those did you take? I forget.
That was the one. No, I took Birthing Grateful Drag.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed the show.
Yeah,
I didn't see you.
I mean, on account of my outfit. No, you wouldn't have recognized me.
Because I wasn't there. You were there.
Exactly. And because I was in drag and not there, you wouldn't recognize me even if you had been where I was.
Our next episode is another classic Giz show. We are doing Red Rocks 22.
I hope it's Red Rock. I hope it's Red Rocks. I hope it's Red Rocks.
It is. Red Rocks.
Good. Oh, thank God.
These are the first three shows that Giz ever played at Red Rocks. I don't know why I was under the impression that these were three nights in a row, but they're not. There's two nights in a row followed by 3-4 weeks between the third night.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
I wonder if we can figure out by then why that happened.
Red Rocks is popular, but also choosing to play...
No, by then. Don't tell me now.
Oh, sorry. I'll wait. Choosing to play at 6,000 feet outdoors in November is a move.
Yeah. My understanding is they just breathed pure oxygen for the 3 weeks in between to prepare for the next show.
It's just snowstorms and shit. So Red Rocks 22 will be our next episode. I'm really looking forward to this. I haven't listened to this in a while.
I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. I'm ready to get down into the YouTube mines and the YouTube music mines.
Like Remlinger 2, Nights 2 and 3, there seem to be full playlists. Not sure.
Mines. Okay, we'll find out. I can't wait. Yeah, it's going to be good.
All right, with that, we'll leave you. Yes, Queens.
Thank you, Rimlickers. Thank you, Straws.
Thank you, Straws. I'm going to suck you. I'm going to eat you.
Grazie.
Grazie.
Thank you very much for your cooperation.
That was fucking sick.